The number you dialed is not in service.
Hello?
And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Wednesday evening, joined tonight by Kyle.
Hello.
How you doing? Kyle's voice is about several octaves deeper this week for special reasons. And out in Signal Land, we have Rob T. Firefly. And Rob, you're muted again. Are you there? Oh, okay. Well, Rob, while you figure that out, let me also say that Gila is with him.
Oh, wait. Are they back? Something.
I am.
Okay. Are we here now?
You have a new button or something over there?
They wiggled something.
Nope.
Second week just, in a row, you self-muted. All right. Well, it is,
I don't know. It's a mystery to me.
Uh-huh. Well, you touched something, so whatever you touched.
I unplugged and replugged my mic, so
as close as you need to get to turning it on and turning it off again. Yeah. Turning it off, turning it on again.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy, we're still all recovering from hope. some of us better than others. This week we are doing a special call-in program so that people can share their experiences with us on anything technology related or radio related or whatnot. Who would like to give out the phone number?
The phone number.
Our phone number. Do we remember our phone number?
We certainly do. We certainly do. Our telephone number is 802-321-4225. And if you're sitting at your keypad, you may have noticed that spells out 321-HACK. 802-321-4225. 802-321-HACK.
And if you called last week's show on YouTube, please do not call this week's show, as this is a program for WBAI listeners. I know you might be a BAI listener as well, but this is primarily for the radio audience, not for the internet audience. But you can also call us if you're listening on the internet and have not called the overtime program in the past week. And that program will not be on tonight, incidentally. So. Hopefully that gets everything cleared out of the way. And again, to echo what our good friend Reggie was saying beforehand, please call and support the radio station. And I'm embarrassed. I don't have the phone number for the station. Did you guys have that information in front of you?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry to put you on the spot there. I just...
No. It's fine. The number to call is 833-WBAI-NYC. That's 833-922-4669. 8392. Again, that's 833-WBAI-NYC. 833-922-4692. Or if you don't want to talk to another human being right now, you can visit buddy.wbai.org and you can fill out the form to make a one-time or a monthly donation. We do encourage you to become a monthly sustaining member of the station. If you choose to do that and they ask who sent you, they ask what your favorite program on WBAI is, please give us a little mention. We appreciate it. And we have gotten special recognition in the past for the active donations from our listeners. So you help the station and you make us look good. Everybody wins. So please don't forget to mention on buddy.wbai.org that you are giving to support Off the Hook. And we appreciate that.
Fantastic stroke of luck, that phone number, WBAI NYC. We didn't request it, just sort of worked out that way. And somebody, it was years before somebody happened to notice that it spelled that out on the keypad. That's my understanding of the story.
Well, I'm willing to believe that.
I'm totally willing to believe that. Yeah. I also love when you look at your phone number and realize what it spells.
Uh-huh.
A friend of mine in college, I'm not going to share his area code, but his phone number spelled out bum tube.
And how long did it take for them to realize that? It takes somebody calling in the middle of the night to inform them of that fact, you know, to open up.
No, they figured it out. And, you know, this was the late 90s and everybody had a whiteboard by their door and he would just run up and down the halls and write bum tube on people's whiteboards. Call me, bum tube.
Yeah, that's just great. Well, call us, please. Our phone lines are open and you can say whatever is on your mind. It can be about technology. It can be about hackers. It can be about the radio station. It can be about life in general. We do this about once a month where we open up the phone lines and basically let our listeners take control. 802-321-4225 is the phone number. 802-321-4225. If you're calling the regular station number, you won't get through because we are broadcasting on a remote studio. While we wait for the phones to start ringing, and I hope the ringer is on this week because sometimes we don't hear it, and that can be embarrassing. Is there anything people want to update or tell? This is a nightmare. I have nothing.
I mean, I don't think any of us, because I think our was it last week that I very confidently said, oh no, we feel fine, we're very well rested and totally doing fine, and 2 days later upper respiratory crud started appearing in our house, which I should never confidently say we feel fine.
Are we all sick? Is everybody sick? I mean, Alex is so sick he can't even get on the radio. That's his story.
I don't know if Concord can be time delayed in such a manner, but
I was sick last week, and I feel like I might be, you know how like when a spaceship goes out into space and then it comes back to get a gravitational push on its longer journey. Yeah, I feel like I'm coming back for that second part. So,
Earth below us, drifting, falling.
We have a phone call, but we need Kyle back in the room in case they say something bad and we have to press the button. He's the only one that can press the button. Oh, you have the medicine there. That's good.
Yeah, I brought some syrup.
Wow. Kyle's really feeling the effects of it. I don't know what it is exactly. It might just be the city. It might be a lot of people getting together. Hopefully everybody else is okay. It's done a number on us. Let's see who's out there. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Am I on?
You're on the air right now.
Great. My question is, when you guys are discussing technical things,
mm-hmm.
We, the lay audience, really don't understand. And you talk in jargon, which seems to be among your shows. You know, I understand the way people in my profession, they talk about things in a very savvy way. So my point is, can you guys just break it down to us when you start these various subjects regarding the internet and the computer.
Yes, caller. That's actually something we really try to work on. And I have a question for you, but I'll explain a little bit of why sometimes we go back and forth. We really try to make things approachable and simple in some regards, but also we want to get into some of the technical stuff. And often we get calls from people who are like, I already know this, or this is easily, you know, looked up. And then we have to explain to them, well, not everyone has the same understanding, and we want this to be a discussion that, you know, everybody from your grandma to your niece can understand what's going on. So you're absolutely right. It's something we want to work on. And my question is there a particular bit of jargon that you had a question on that we mentioned either this week or that prompted you to remind us?
I'm sorry, I should have written it down. I was so baffled that I just went immediately to the point that I can't, you know, it seems that you're speaking insider jargon, which is cool, except that for us, we have no idea what that refers to. It's like an acronym that we don't know.
Wow.
What the meaning of
it. I mean, that's something that we try so hard not to do, but we could be doing it without realizing it. Rob Gila, you have something to add?
I was just going to say, as a voice from the inside, y'all, sometimes I don't know what you're talking about.
We don't know. Sometimes we don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that is something that's I think is important about the format we have, where we have, you know, this handful of different people who are interested in different things and are experts in different fields and stuff. And we get to explaining this stuff to one another. And hopefully also explain it to those out there listening who might be interested, but not totally fluent in the jargon and the lingo, as you put it, caller. And we totally appreciate it. If there's anything you ever hear us talking about that you would like us to go more into, please send us an email, and elucidate whatever you like.
Okay, the email address is oth@2600.com. That's 2600.com.
And we often
OTH for Off the Hook, which is the name of the show, at 2600.com. And that'll get to all of us. Can I ask where you're calling from?
I'm calling from Brooklyn.
Okay, great. Kyle, did you have something else?
Well, I was just going to mention another scenario where sometimes words and jargon gets thrown around in the news stories and we're kind of trying it on.
Yeah.
So we sometimes throw that stuff around because we read it in an article and we're trying it on or poking fun at it a little bit because it's some new term that sort of industry wants us to adopt. And we do get a little bit flippant with it in those cases. So there's a couple different scenarios.
You're absolutely right. I hate when people do that. I hate when people talk in jargon. It's a way of kind of isolating yourself from everybody else and saying saying that you're smarter somehow. And basically it's not proving you're smarter at all. It's just basically it's shielding you.
Well, actually, I, as a business person, I just chalk it up to you guys are talking in the language that you're familiar with, the high end of the technology. So I'll just end with this suggestion. Give them a thought when you're discussing these esoteric concepts to breaking down a couple of the acronyms that you jog about, okay?
Absolutely, absolutely. We will endeavor to do that more.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Yes.
That is what I call constructive criticism, and something we need to do that more, because I got to tell you, half the time I don't know a lot of the acronyms and terminology that's used, and it astounds me that I could actually talk in a way that somebody would think is jargonese, and I imagine people that we think are talking in tongues and saying all kinds of it's just incomprehensible technical speak. They probably have people they hear that are talking in jargon. It goes on and on and on forever. So, yeah, I think we all need to, not just on the radio, but in real life, try and, define our terms so that people know what the hell you're talking about. And this might be a night where we say all kinds of things that don't make sense. And it's not because of the jargon. It's because of Probably the medicine.
Should I measure this dose or do I just swig it right out of the bottle?
Is that the kind that's going to knock you out? Because
no,
you,
this is
that's the kind.
This is the uppers.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
No,
I'm not running the board. I'm fine.
You know, we used to have a drug show.
It's the daytime
on WBAI. Used to have a drug show, like how to take recreational.
It was, I'm not going to take sleepy time.
The 60s or the 70s. It was a different era. Different era, but we definitely
we can talk about drugs. I mean, it's probably people making drugs with computers, but that's not what this phone call is about.
A lot of good ideas for shows that I've had over the years. You know, one show in particular, a bunch of taxi drivers just get together and trade stories, you know, for an hour. That's a great show, right?
It is.
Do you have an idea, Gila? Do you have an idea for a show?
No, I was just thinking, I feel like taxi drivers, it's been done.
Has it?
It was a really successful sitcom.
I'm talking about real life, not a sitcom. All right. I mean, we're not going to get Judd Hirsch. We're not going to pay people. It's just, you know, a roundtable discussion, kind of like this weird roundtable we have.
Right, well, the other question I had was when you said drug show, I was like, about drugs or on drugs? Because that's a totally different.
You know, this brings back a memory of Hope, actually, where there was a banner on the second floor, which was visible from the lobby, and a couple of the security guards were asking us, so what is that big banner that says free drugs? And we weren't giving away free drugs. It was basically a drug testing service.
But it was the dual meaning, free them, like free them in the sense of not restricting them, you know, free them. And it also said in parentheses, testing and information. So they were kind of using the banner as a play on words, but you could really only see it in large print.
It got their attention, and these guys were downstairs, and you know they couldn't go upstairs to check it out.
I didn't know what they were talking about.
They were
like,
curious.
You guys got free drugs up there? I was like, what are you where? And I was like, show me. What do you see?
I
saw the banner. I was like, oh, no, it's testing.
That's not what people thought we were doing.
No, I had to explain to the guy. I was like, it's testing. It's like, so, you know, fentanyl, like, so you don't die, that kind of thing.
It was also somebody with a table on the mezzanine that had come in. It wasn't like an official conference thing, right?
Yes, they were a vendor, a really wonderful group, Grassroots Harm Reduction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They are a local in New York.
Did your doorbell just ring?
It did, and we don't know why.
Yes, okay. we did not order anything, so
why
we're not.
Why does your doorbell sound so horrible? It's like, you know.
Because this building was built back in 1950 bad or whatever, and they've never upgraded the system
since
then.
Interesting, because my grandparents had a doorbell that sounded just like that, and their building obviously was from that era.
It's got pizzazz.
Well, I guess people didn't look forward to visitors, so they had a harsh sound when they arrived.
Well, and they're also really loud in this building, so we can hear our neighbors. I'm sure they can hear ours. And it's this mid-century modern living that we're doing.
But you're the only ones doing a radio show that you know of in the building.
To our knowledge.
That is true. Loud.
Okay, we have a caller who's been very patiently waiting. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Our neighbors. I'm sure they can hear ours.
Please don't play us, because we don't want to hear us. Okay, this is Rebel calling. I see the caller ID. And Rebel, we told you specifically, asked you specifically, please don't call, because you called last week. In fact, you were the only caller last week, and we're not going to have that again. So please don't call back. If you do, you won't be allowed to call the next week and the week after. And that's a good way to silence yourself. Boy, I was tying up the line for all that time. 802-321-4225 is a phone number. Sorry about that. And if they listen to the radio, then they would know that we asked specifically not to call because you called last week.
He needs a personal disinvitation. Go ahead, Gila.
We also mentioned it at the end of overtime last week. I slept through that buzzer.
Did you?
I slept. Yeah, I did. Yeah. Apparently, I'm a very sound sleeper.
Yes, but you've also been living here longer than I have, and I think I've had more time to grow used to the sounds. And
this was a really long time ago, though.
Yes.
It was like 10 years ago I slept through it.
We have another phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook. Go ahead.
Good evening. There?
Yes, go ahead.
I'd like to talk about old-time privacy, and I'd like to open up the conversation. I suspect I'm substantially older than most of you, and I have installed, if you recall, the X10 accessories throughout the house. which are send signals over the internal electric wiring. And there's no Internet of Things here. And I can automate plenty. And I have other... I'm very suspicious. I've been a privacy hawk for decades. And I'd like to open up the conversation that if you can control things remotely but within your own abode, is this something that intrigues you or anybody else? There's still a vivid X10 community. They still make some of them, and the parts are available. I turn on the outdoor lights, and the timer is controlled to come up. It knows when sunrise is. It'll turn lights off 20 minutes after sunrise and 20 minutes before sunset, as well as controlling. In fact, the radio I'm listening to you on, I can control through these really kind of ancient technology, but it's not the Internet of Things. There's nobody else outside the house that can snoop on it.
Wow. Well, you know, this is precisely what I think many people are moving towards now, because they've seen the evil of what Internet-driven devices can do, how the spying works, and all of that. Keeping in mind the previous caller, can you define what X10 is for someone who might not know?
You know what? I may even have a box here that has something. X10 is a protocol that sends codes over your electrical system. You plug in, you put accessories that plug into any outlet. And there are 16 channels, I believe, and 16 channels that are alphabetic. No, 16 channels that are numeric, and you cross-reference them and give them an alphabetic code. Uh-huh. So you have all those permutations. I think it's 256 different items and commands that can go over. You can put macros that make one thing do work after another. I've monkeyed with these for decades. I'm old enough to know to be in college when Nixon resigned. So I've tinkered with this stuff, and have always been very cautious about who gets to look into what's going on in my abode.
I would ask you, what kind of resources would you point people to if they were interested in this, since you've had quite a bit of experience with it? And I would just commend you for picking this to really use in a wide variety of ways, because it really does reduce the footprint of stuff that is using, you know, adware and other kinds of snooping techniques, or just because it can. So what kind of resources
okay, use this one search engine, whatever you prefer, x.10, those -10, or even x10 with no dash. Just say accessories. It'll open up wide vistas of enthusiasts and vendors. Smart Home still makes them. Leviton, the electrical supplier, got out of the business. I will give you a proviso. You gotta like to hack with it, because it gets ornery sometimes. You have to stop noise. Uh-huh. Occasionally it's on the line. I manage workarounds. If you like to solve problems as well as avoid problems.
You mean like compressors or some kind of motor or something that's on the same circuit and that kind of thing? Interference?
You can control motors. They have relays.
Oh, wow.
So you have remotes that'll trigger a relay.
Very cool.
And I have a setup for my router for internet service And I can, if it gets flummoxed, I have a remote button that will turn it off and reboot it remotely.
Wow.
And thank you for the wow, but it's really, it's fairly pedestrian stuff like that. So
I think many of us have forgotten about it. You know, when was this in its heyday?
It's been around at least since the 70s.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's still, there's still manufacturers. If you go on eBay and you look on eBay, say X10, spotlight or X10, switches, you'll see all sorts, and they're wired in they're wired in every way imaginable. You can have chains of lights that turn on, and you can use it. They only have a Windows version of the master programming, and it's no longer made. But you can download all of the programming onto a sort of a plug-in master. It's tethered to your PC, and it will absorb all your commands. You can unplug it afterwards because it'll stay. And there's a combination of wireless that will trigger a wireless receiver, but it's all inside your house. So I hope you if you are a privacy hawk and you don't like doorbells that send pictures over through a third party, mm-hmm. to tell you that the package has arrived, it might be kind of fun if you like to hack and play. I've got pictures of my desk from 65 years ago with soldering irons on it.
Wow. Well, we'd certainly like to hear more about this. I hope you maybe write a piece about this or even give a talk about this, because people don't know about it. I guarantee people don't know about this. And it can be very useful, a lot of fun, and you can learn so much just by doing the programming and the troubleshooting. That's what it's all about.
There's one book reference I use, and it's Troubleshooting either X10 or the author is Jeff, J-E-F-F, Fisher, F-I-S-H-E-R. You might do a search on that as well. You might find that if you want to dive in. But eBay, the stuff is available. It's all around. And some places still make it. Smart Home makes more modern versions. Sometimes they do a combination of they have some where your phone, some folks have developed an app that acts as a remote within your house.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of I like that no one's snooping, and I like to troubleshoot when I get a little bit of a hiccup, usually from noise on the line and on the electrical system.
Uh-huh. Yes. So, well, I think this will inspire some people to really look into this. Maybe it'll more companies will come into being that are making technology.
Yeah, reviving technology that's sort of new but forgotten, because some of the stuff, like you said, it's fairly recent, and then it kind of resurfaces and then gets kind of forgotten, and then people rediscover it. So maybe there's an opportunity here.
And all the attacks on privacy, that's really in the news a lot lately. So I think people are looking for stuff like this, just, you know, at least so they can have something.
Yep. I wish you luck in looking at it. If I get an opportunity to call in again with some more details, I sort of haphazardly picked up the phone and said, let me give these gentlemen. And
on that note, I don't know if this is connected in any way, but you have the best phone connection I think we've heard in a long time. People call on cell phones and they just sound awful, and you sound crystal clear, like, you know, like the old days.
I don't know. Maybe I'm not getting interfered with. Okay.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for your call, and best of luck.
Have a peaceful night, everybody.
Take care.
You too.
Wow, that's amazing. That really is amazing. X10.
That was very cool stuff. I had forgotten all about X10. I had read a little bit about it ages ago. And yeah, it was a big deal in the 80s and the 90s. And the fact that people are still messing with it is a lot of fun. There was also a type of browser ad in the early 2000s, around 2001, that one X10 manufacturer got notorious for, because they figured out how to pop up banner ads underneath your browser window, and people hated that.
Well, I forgot about it so much I don't even remember ever knowing about it. So that's kind of weird. I got to look into that. 802-321-4225 is our phone number. Someone's already on the line. We're about to pick up that line. And if you call when someone's on the line, you'll wind up going to voicemail. So just hang up and try again. Let's take this phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook. Go ahead.
Hello, am I on?
Yes, you're on right now.
Okay, two things. Number one, I'm a huge fan of the magazine and the radio show. Both are little glimpses of light in what feels like a very dark time politically, and I want to thank you and everybody else who works at 2600 WBAI for doing that. And if I may, a small piece of shameless self-promotion, but if only if I may.
Yes, you may. Go ahead.
Okay. I am creating a website that is styled 1990s GeoCities, centered around hacking, bringing back the free web, all that good stuff.
Uh-huh.
Basically a large directory to other websites. It is zargonsdigitaldomain.neocities.org. If anybody wants to check that out, there you go. Thank you for picking up my call.
Of course, yes, and best of luck with that, and thanks for the acknowledgement.
Of course, thank you.
All right, take care. 802-321-4225. It's nice to hear that every now and then. That it makes a difference. Makes you want to keep going. Makes you want to keep doing it. It's okay, Kyle. You can sneeze loudly on the air. It's not a problem. We have another phone call. Kyle's in the other room right now, but he'll be back. And when it gets back, that phone call will be picked up. 802-321-4225 is our phone number. The calls are coming fast and furious now. And good evening. You are on Off the Hook. Go ahead.
Okay. My name is Rhonda Haubin, and I'm co-author of a book called Netizens on the History and Impact of Usenet and the Internet. And it's about the fight against the commercialization of the Internet and the effort to keep and to document what was a very different Internet when I got on in the early 1990s and the things, and then fighting against the privatization and the commercialization. And I have a couple of questions. One, I saw that at the Hope Conference there was some talk on this subject about how people didn't want to leave this current Internet to the next generation. They wanted the next generation to understand what was the past Internet, and that what was the actually Internet that was built. Mm-hmm. And it was taken over, and it was fought against the takeover. And I thought there's still aspects of and people have had the other experience, and people who try to do things, given all the fight that we've been through. I wonder if you can talk about, or if you have talked about, if you could tell me where I can find it, what went on at the conference about this subject. And then I have an article that I want to point out to you that's on the subject that I think it sounds very interesting. And I wondered if this topic is being taken up, that where that is. I was on Usenet early on. I documented the early development of Usenet, and I don't know if your listeners understand what Usenet was, but it was an mm-hmm. early social media site that was wonderful, where people really talked to each other. It was good to hear differences, and people learned from the differences, mm-hmm. and they built a system where people helped each other and formed communities. And so it was what was supposedly this vision of an Internet that was a utopia. Instead, it was that was the Internet that existed in the early 90s and when I got on, and then subsequently we fought against them. There was a set of people trying to give this to the commercial entities who didn't build this Internet. This Internet was built in the collaborative process. And so I wondered, what went on at the conference, and two, if there's a way to follow up on this and to build the work around this. And I want to mention the article that's currently was recently given in the Guardian, and is very interesting. Yes, so I'll shut up and listen to you.
Okay, well, the conversation did take place at the conference quite a bit. I can't point specifically to a particular talk. You, Rob, do you have some info, Gila?
Yeah, a few weeks ago, actually the week before the conference, we had a guest on this program named Lambda Calculus who gave this very talk, and we can't say the entire title on the radio, but we can say the second half of it was How to Rewild the Internet. It was exactly about this, how to take back the internet from the corporate interests that are going on and, making everything worse, and how to get back a bit of that old, scrappy sort of punk sense of what the internet used to be and how people used to connect and learn on it. And it was, I can tell you that talk was packed. The room was shoulder to shoulder, standing room only. And there was a great response to it. And I know that similar talks are happening at conferences and events. The videos and stuff for the most recent Hope have not been put on 2600's YouTube yet, but they will eventually get there. There's a lot of sentiment out there. I think in general, if you look around on the web, there are a lot of us old heads who were on Usenet and similar things, and who are looking to spread the word about like how things can be that way again, in terms of connecting with folks.
And actually, the thing that I was thinking about, which is sort of struck my brain a little bit, was something that Lambda Calculus spoke about in his talk, and also something the previous caller mentioned. Lambda was talking about a lot of the things that are kind of popping up to sort of more open source, wilding the internet ways of doing a lot of established stuff. So the previous caller spoke about a page they're building on NeoCities, which is kind of bringing back the spirit of GeoCities. And I just thought that was an interesting, talking a lot about Valid, talking about things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, caller, it's there. And there's a lot of the sentiment for it. It's absolutely there. And if you check out the 2600 website, the Hope website, a lot of that is there.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to comment and just say that for me, I wasn't on Usenet as far as I know. I was a little too green in my early explorations, but I think it's important. And I really feel like this is where we have to really institute the Council of Elders now. We got to impart this stuff. I know I keep mentioning it, but I think the utopia we're talking about, it never was a utopia. Like, to me, the internet never was a utopia. I think that's, to try to sell that is, it's a little misleading. What it was is a place where enthusiasts were, people who were fascinated by it and excited about it. And I think it gets recast as a utopia, but that's nostalgia. Mm-hmm. We need to avoid that, but we need to teach the skills that led to enthusiasts being able to express themselves and share their joy and ability to find affinity groups and common cause. And I think those skills are really basic stuff. What are protocols? How do you make a website? All of that stuff. Because what happened is companies decided, oh, wow, there's people on here doing fun, eclectic, wacky things. Now let's get everyone on here. And it was already, there were already, unsavory, let's say, parts of the internet. And that thing of having everyone online just led to more of that. And in fact, now they're unsavory with like business plans and ways to exploit us. So I think that what happened with the commercialization of the internet, from my experience of it, I mean, they were already selling the whole walled garden, like Prodigy, AOL, CompuServe, like those were big telecommunications companies and media companies that were trying to cash in on that exuberance. And I think we need to just impart and share with people who may not be familiar with what Usenet was. And there is a lot of that rewilding going on already. Rob has talked about the Fediverse and how social media is getting the treatment because we really understand the ramifications of it in its ability to leverage harm. not just by actual other individuals, but in like automated ways. Mm-hmm. So it's happening there, but I think it's going to happen. It is ripe for it in many other aspects. So anyway, I could go on and on and on, but this is a fantastic topic. It is absolutely something we need wisdom to look back with clear eyes mm-hmm. about, okay, how did this emerge and where did we end up and what can we do to encourage more of that exuberance and enthusiasm akin to what we felt or at least think of as a utopia compared to the living, waking night terror hell that we're in now.
I hope that yeah. addresses your question, caller.
No, I thought that that's a problem. I think it's good we have, it's very important to have the discussion, but I don't know if the position I just heard was anybody on in the early 90s, but that do you know the word netizen, the concept mm-hmm. of netizen, netizen, mm-hmm. because the concept of netizen, which if you look online on Scholar or you know. There was an effort to describe the new kind of citizenship that the internet was making possible, and that the word netizen got brought up to describe that, and that wasn't everybody online. The commercial entities tried to turn it into that, but it was people online who understood you could have more power to deal with things and wanted a more empowered citizenship, and were doing that, being online, were able to do that. And so I think what I just heard was the opposite. It wasn't quite that. It was minimizing what there was. I think we have to look at what there was. And the book that I'm co-author of, which is online, it's called Netizens, N-E-T-I-Z-E-N, on the history and impact of Usenet and the Internet. And maybe it's online, so if you can find it and look at it, I think that would be interesting. But I wanted to mention about the article that's currently in the Guardian. It was put on the 18th of August, 2026, and it was called Democracy Versus the Machine, The Birth of the Digital Age and the Warnings That Were Ignored. And the article has a little bit of the history of the development of the internet that was creating a collaborative vision and process and practice, and there was that. And so it wasn't utopia. That's a misstatement. I appreciate you pointing that out. But it was that there was a collaboration, and there was a process that was very different from what is now, and it wasn't that some dream of the future. It was what went on. And so I think that that's important to look at. Mm-hmm. And at the end of that article, it talks about both Michael Halbin and Douglas Adams, and talks about mm-hmm. how there was a public purpose view for the internet's future, and that was what was created by those among a lot of other people, and so I think you should, you know, maybe try to get look at it and maybe make it the subject of a talk even in sure. Because I thought it appeared on the 18th of August, and I think it's important to look at and not to have the view that it wasn't a utopia. It's not a utopia, but it was something that was what we want to have. And it wasn't just that people had skills. It was that people had ways of communicating and the communication empowering people to do things that we need to be able to do. It was creating a new form of citizenship, which is what we need. And we need the understanding of it, not just creating it, but also having a clue. And there was talk and development in terms of the understanding of it. And so maybe you can be in touch with me somehow, and I would like to, when you do put that talk on the line, I would really love to know about it. So maybe you can absolutely mention it in the program.
Okay, well, we're gonna have to leave it there, but you can write to us, OTH@2600.com. That's our email address. We do want to open things up for a couple more callers in the time we have left. Rob, I think you had something to say.
Yeah, I totally hear what the caller's saying, and I totally do agree with Kyle what you were saying about it was not a utopia, it was not a magical, you know, wonderful thing that is now gone. But I think one thing that existed back in the early days of the web, and I'm sure our caller will remember John Perry Barlow's Declaration of the Independence of Cyberspace that came out in 1996, and it kind of well encapsulates the whole feeling of like there is such potential here for something new and something, you know, collaborative and some real community and progress in a form that does not seem like the main idea of the internet anymore. And but there are people who still feel that way. There are people who want to use today's tools to try and get something like that going again in a meaningful way. And I think you can find that out there if you do take an honest look at the past and also maintain hope for the future.
Yeah, I don't want to minimize what the aspirations were at the time. And like I said, I'm younger. Like I wasn't online in those forum. And as soon as the data brokers got online, like and corporations, they basically commodified that spirit. And it was very hard to get away from commercial aspects of the networked and technological era and transformation that I was living through. But I mean, I could go on and on about this, and I think we don't really have
like
time.
Everybody can. Gila, quickly, and then we want to get to this caller.
Absolutely. All I was thinking about is, Kyle, kind of piggybacking on that, the commodification of everything has crept into every single piece of the world. And I think it's not that it was a utopia necessarily, but the world as it exists right now tends to look down on things that you spend your time doing that don't earn money. Like, when did hobbies become side hustles?
Yeah, I mean, the joke of like, okay, yeah, gig economy is like a real thing. Like, that's what they were telling us for coming out of school instead of having a career or a real job. Like, yeah, I'm getting the line that we've been fed. And
we're not going to have enough time for this call if we don't stop our invigorating discussion, which thank you, caller, for getting it started. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook. Go ahead.
Thank you so much for taking my call. Brutal experience. Daryl McPherson, Bronx, New York.
Uh-huh.
Have you noticed that the charging cords between transformers and phones have a very short charging life before they dysfunction? And do you know of a good place to purchase cords that last for more than 6 months to a year?
This is something I'd like to know, but I don't. Anyone?
What type of device? What type of connector? Is this like USB-C? Is it a new standard or an older standard? And what kind of power, like amperage, currents? What are you looking at?
The connector doesn't seem to make a difference, although I noticed that most newer cords now are, was it type 2 to type 2, something to that effect, rather than USB to type 2. However, what I'm finding is that, and maybe it's just the brand that I'm buying, the cords last about 6 months in which you can get a full charge in a very short period of time, and then at some point in time, they just stop working.
Okay, well,
sounds like a materials thing, but yeah. There's a lot of different, like OEM and ODM, mm-hmm. that's original equipment manufacturer and original design manufacturers that are making all kinds of versions of these under all kinds of different names. So the materials, the corners they're cutting, maybe some of the wiring is bad, the way it's flexing, it's not got enough strain relief. There could be a bunch of mechanical factors. But maybe it's actually got some kind of circuitry that is killing it. I don't know. That's a new quandary, but we'll definitely ask around ourselves.
Well, one thing I've learned this hour is that an hour is not nearly enough time to talk to BAI listeners. Next time we do this, maybe we can ask with some extended time. We are out of time, unfortunately. I'm sorry to everybody we didn't get to. You can write to us, oth@2600.com, or maybe call us next week on Overtime on YouTube. We'll do this again in a month and see if we can fit more people in. Rob, do you have any announcement for us?
Yes. Well,
no.
Not this week, but next week will be the 2600 meeting all
over. Oh, it's
over,
not this week.
All the, all yeah, it's the still August this week.
Oh, no, it's still ahead.
It's still August on Friday, but you know, a little early doesn't hurt to get prepared a little sooner.
All right. Well, then we will say goodnight, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Burns down. Fire, fire, burning higher. Still got time to turn it all around. Now I ain't one for speaking out much, but that don't mean I don't stay in touch. Everybody's tripping over this or that. What we gonna do when we all fall flat? Think about us. When did we lose in God we trust? God Almighty, what we gonna do if God ain't listening and we're deaf too? Liar, liar, the world's on fire. What you gonna do when it all burns down? Fire, fire, burning higher. Still got time to turn it all around. Don't get me started on politics. Now how are we to live in a world like this? Greedy politicians, present and past, they wouldn't know the truth if it bit them in the ass. Now tell me, what is truth? Have we all lost sight of common decency, of wrong and right? How do we heal this great divide? Do we care enough to try? Janie got a sign to carry in the fight. Marching in the streets with sticks and stones. Don't you ever believe words don't break bones. What you gonna do when it all burns down?